Take your Bible and look at Psalm 19. Psalm 19. Psalm 19. Ethan, will you do me a favor and I think it may be on my desk, that clicker. See if it's back there. Psalm 19, let me get there. And last Wednesday night, I was looking into some stuff here, and I'm going to try to finish this up if I can. So if it seems a little rushed, we'll try to get all the way through. I want to look at some verses right quick. Look at Psalm 19 in verse number 1. And it says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as the strong man to run a race." Notice the heavens declare the glory of God. Declare, say something. The heavens say something. They speak to us. Verse 2 says, "Day unto day uttereth speech." The day speaks to us. The night showeth forth knowledge. And I said last week, as you're finding Genesis chapter number 1, I said last week that we're living in a generation now to where everybody looks down. We're always looking down, and I love technology better than anybody, and I'm always looking for the newest thing and the gadgets and all of that kind of thing. And everybody now is looking down. You pull up at a red light, people are taking time, and they're looking at their phone, and they're doing whatever. And people are not taking time anymore to look up into the heavens, because the heavens will tell you a story. Look at Genesis chapter number 1 and verse number 14. "And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for," what? "Signs and for seasons and for days and for years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, which was the sun, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also." Now, look at Isaiah chapter 40. Look at Isaiah chapter 40. Now, there's something to this. I'm not saying that I've got it all figured out, because I don't. I'm still looking at that, and by the time we end tonight, you'll say, no, he hadn't got it all figured out. But that leaves room for us to do some study and more study on this kind of thing. Isaiah chapter 40, and look at verse number 26. You say, have you got any verses that says we don't need to always look down? Well, here's one. Isaiah 40 and verse 26. "Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth." This says, look up your eyes, lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things. Now, what I'm going to show you tonight, if you were here last week, and you've looked at some of these things before last week, we're going to study the zodiac signs in the heavens. I'm not talking about your birth date. I'm not talking about what sign you are or your horoscope. That is the wrong way to study what we're fixing to study. The right way to study what we're fixing to study is the focus is on who created the stars in the heaven. See, the signs in the heaven is not about you. It's about him. And it points toward him. It don't point about you, point to you. And what we've done, all of the philosophers and the mysticisms and all of that, they have taken these signs and they've perverted these signs to where they've made all of these signs about you, what your birthday is and who you're supposed to marry, and you're going to be rich next week because you're going to run into somebody at the grocery store, and boy, you're going to run into the love of your life, and it's all because of your horoscope. And everybody reads their horoscope every day because they want to know what they're going to be doing, and everybody wants to know their future. My friend, if you want to know your future, you stick your nose in that Bible and it'll tell you your future. You don't have to have a sign to tell you about you. The signs in the heaven is not about you. They were created about him to tell a story in the heavens, because the heavens declare the glory. The heavens speak something. The daytime uttereth something. The nighttime showeth knowledge. Look at, before we go any further, look at Job 38. Job 38. You say, that stuff ain't in the Bible. Now, I'm going to tell you, because somebody said, well, I thought the signs and all of that was bad. You wasn't supposed to. Well, no, you're not supposed to read your horoscope. That's the bad part. That's astrology. We're not studying the method of how this thing influences you, and it's not about you. What we're studying is him. And the story that it's saying about him. Look at Job 38. We didn't read this last week, but Job 38 is full of information. Look at verse 28. Hath the rain a father? Who hath begotten the drops of the dew? Out of whose womb came the ice? And the hoary frost of heaven, who hath gendered it? The waters are hid as with a stone, and the face of the deep is frozen. Now, boy, what I would love to deal with that for a minute, but I really don't have time. The face of the deep is frozen. Did you know in Revelation chapter number 4, it says before the throne of God, there is a sea of glass. The sea of glass, before you get to the throne of God, is frozen. Anyway. 31, canst thou bind the sweet influences of Pleiades, or loose the bands of Orion? Canst thou bring forth Maseroth in his season, or canst thou guide Arcturus with his sons? Maseroth. You see the word Maseroth in the Hebrew. Boy, that's really bad. I'm telling you, in the Hebrew, Maseroth means zodiac. There are some things that Job saw in the heavens, because the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showed. One of the constellations in the heavens is called Orion. Before the Babylonians, before the Greeks, before the Romans, before anybody discovered all of these things, Job had already seen these things. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth forth his handiwork. Now, if you're going to start, you cannot start where the world starts. You have to start, well, obviously everybody knows, every year we go around this thing. So every year, the heavens declare a story, and they start with Virgo. They start with Virgo. Well, they rotate around the sun, obviously, and in a certain sign, that's where they get your month, and when you was born, that's your sign, and it's all about you. And no, it's not all about you. It's all about him. And you start with Virgo. We dealt with this last week. Virgo. Virgo means virgin, and there's a virgin there, and in her hand she has a branch. Jesus Christ is the branch, and then she has a stalk of wheat. If a corn of wheat fall in the ground and die, it abideth alone, and if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. And this baby in her womb is born, and there she is with this baby in her lap, a virgin. Therefore a virgin shall conceive and give birth to a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. That's where the thing all starts. Then it goes to Libra. Libra is a scale, is a scales. It's an unbalanced scale. Daniel 5 and will tell you they've been weighed in the balances and found wanting. There is a price that has to be paid to balance these scales. Along with Libra, there is a sacrificial lamb here. And that sacrificial lamb dies on a cross. And that cross one day receives a crown. And to balance the scales, you must have a sacrifice. And that sacrifice has to die upon a cross. The heavens declare the glory of God. And then after Libra, you have Scorpio. Because in Genesis 5 and verse 15 says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." So the part of Scorpio. Anybody, any Scorpios in here? See, you had Scorpios. I knew you was a Scorpio, David. I knew you was a Scorpio. Oh, Roger's a Scorpio too. Well, let me tell you, another constellation around Scorpio shows a man. Notice the man's foot is fixing to be stung by the scorpion. But his other foot is up, fixing to crush the head of the scorpion. Let's stay in your seat, don't get excited. And in his other hand, he's got a snake. And it looks like he's finna choke him out. Hallelujah. You say, "Oh, you're stretching." Hey, I tell you what. You know what makes me real mad? A lot of things make me mad. Y'all pray for me. I mean, I'm human. Y'all just pray for me. But you know what really makes me mad? It's for somebody to come to tell me, "Brother Jeremy, I think you're stretching all of that a little bit." And then come to find out, they read their horoscope every day and stretch a whole lot. So before you come to me and say, "Well, you're stretching the scriptures," just make sure you ain't reading and stretching your horoscope a little and looking for tall, dark, and handsome somewhere at the grocery store. Genesis 3:15 tells about Scorpio. And then the next one is Sagittarius. How many Sagittariuses do we have? A couple of you. Now, Sagittarius will tell you that it's about, the archer. But what it's actually about is not only the archer, but the arrow. And the arrow he's about to shoot is going straight up in the air. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, after Jesus Christ dies upon the cross and he crucifies and he puts his foot on the top of the scorpion, and he's got the snake by the neck. I'm telling you, at Acts chapter number 1, you write it down because we don't have time to turn to it right now, but Acts chapter number 1, there's two men standing in the heaven, and they say, "Why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus will come back in like manner just as you have seen him go." That arrow is shot up in the air. You say, "Preacher, that stretches." Oh, watch this. And part of that arrow that goes up in the air, there's a harp that's being played while that arrow is shot in the air. And there's an altar that looks like it's been tipped over. When Jesus Christ ascends into heaven, he takes the blood of the mercy seat and he pours it on the altar of the mercy seat in heaven. And today, that mercy seat in heaven tips over and that blood flows. There's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath the flood, lose all their guilty stains. The reason Jesus went up in the sky and the harps and the angels were rejoicing and praising God because the Lamb of God had re-entered the heaven's glory and he put the blood on the mercy seat. When he did that, ladies and gentlemen, it's been poured out on you and for me. Hallelujah. Sagittarius. Hallelujah. I'm liking some Sagittarius. Then you got a Capricorn. Hand me a Capricorn. I got my hand up. Capricorns. Got some Capricorns in here. Capricorns is pictured as a wounded goat and his tail is a fish's tail. You got a wounded goat, and he's got a tail like a fish's tail. Now, this is a constellation in the heavens. You say, preacher, what in the world are you going to get out of that? Well, the wounded goat pictures a sacrifice. And any time in the Bible, the fish is a representation of a multitude. And because of the sacrifice, there's a multitude. Because of the sacrifice, there's a multitude of people that gets in. Hallelujah. On some Capricorns. Now, people watching on the internet, they're probably like, where in the world is this church? I mean, this place is crazy. Well, we may be. And we may be a bunch of nuts, but we're screwed on the right boat.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Because of the sacrifice, there's a multitude. And after Capricorns, have any? Do you have any Aquarius? Aquarius. I guess I'm saying it right. Aquarius appears to be a man, and he's pouring water out of a vessel off of his shoulder, and that water is being poured out. And there's a fish. There's a multitude. Fish represents multitude. But there's a man, because of the sacrifice, there's a multitude of fish. And I think in John chapter number 4, Jesus met the woman at the well, and he said, lady, if you'll drink this water in this well, you're going to thirst again. But if you'll drink of the water that I shall give, he shall never thirst again. It shall be out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And because the water of life being poured out, it comes a multitude, which in turn gives the water to others, and we become fishers of men. You say, preacher, you ain't got Numbers 24, verse 7, he shall pour the water out of his bucket, and his seed shall be in many waters. Right there. The water. Hallelujah. The water of life. And that water of life turns into a multitude. And you take that water, give it to somebody else, and that person gives somebody else, and you go out in the highways and hedges to compel them to come in and become fishers of men.
Amen.
Then, y'all not ready for this one. Pisces. How many Pisces you got? Pisces, several. Pisces represents two fish. Y'all ready? Two fish. Now, you see these two. Hang on. Hold the phone. These two. Sacrifice, fish. Because Jesus died on the cross, we become fishers of men. Because of the water of life, we can teach others also, and they can drink of that water, and they will never thirst again, and become a multitude of God's people, fishers of men. Ready? But eventually, when this dispensation ends, there's going to come a time y'all ain't ready yet. Pisces, two fish. It pictures one fish headed up. Let me come over here a minute. After the sacrifice, and we become fishers of men, the water of life, this dispensation, we take that water, give it to others, be able to teach others also, we become fish, a multitude. One of these days, that multitude is headed out of here. You say, well, what about this one? There is a multitude called the nation of Israel that's going to be left to go through the tribulation. This multitude's headed out. There's Israel has got to go through the time of Jacob's trouble. You say,
How do you get that out of that?
Well, you have to look at the other constellations around it. You see this woman right here? You have Pisces here. You got the fish going up, this one going through the tribulation. There's this woman right here. This woman right here is in chains. Her feet are chained. Her hands are chained. She represents the nation of Israel who is in bondage in the tribulation period. She represents the woman, the nation of Israel, who is in bondage in the tribulation period. And they're going through the time of Jacob's trouble. They're going through tribulation. They're in bondage under the Antichrist rule. But let me give you a little good news. While all of this is going on down here on this earth, and we're headed out, and the nation of Israel's in bondage, and they're going through the tribulation, there's a king sitting on a throne. And he's got his right foot on the northern star. You say, preacher, it's bad. It's bad here. Let me just give you a look. Let me just help you a little bit. The king is still on the throne, and he's got his right foot on the northern star. I think Colossians says something about everything's under his feet. You worried about something tonight? Don't worry about it. He's up there. Everything's under his feet. Pisces. Got one fish going up. Hallelujah for the fish going up. Now, you got rapture, you got tribulation there, you got this woman in bondage. The king's still on the throne while all this is going on. And then, after that, you got Aries. And Aries pictures a ram. And this ram is making war. There's a warrior here in the middle of the tribulation period. There's going to be war in heaven. And this ram as a warrior. And here's the dragon trying to fight and try to destroy the nation of Israel. But you see this woman up here? Now, this woman right here is in bondage. But this one is loosed and sitting on the throne. Israel, when this thing's all said and done, is going to be restored to its rightful place. After this ram defeats the dragon. Hallelujah. See, you thought it had something to do with you. It ain't got nothing to do with you. Ain't got a thing. Why? You say, preacher, what is all this? I don't see all of that when I look up there. Well, it's up there. The heavens declare the glory of God. And Isaiah says, lift up your eyes and look. Get your telescope. Look up there. You may be surprised what you'll find up there. Now, don't start studying the stars to find out your horoscope. That's wrong. That's about you. If you want to look up there like Job did, he said, he was telling God, tell me about what I just saw up there. Tell me about Orion. Tell me about Maseroth. Tell me about all this stuff that's up there. You see. Now, you got Aries. And this is during the tribulation period, fighting the dragon and all of this, and Israel is loose. Now, next is another scene of a war in heaven, basically around the same time. And it's Taurus. Taurus is, I mean, any Taurus? Bull? Any bullheaded? I mean, Taurus people? Pictures of bull. And this bull and this warrior right here. You say, what in the world is this? Well, it's hard to tell, but this warrior has a lion by the mane. By the nape of the neck. You say, who's that lion? The devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And this warrior here and this raging bull is coming. Revelation chapter number 20. I mean, when you see them white horses come, you're going to think a bull. You're going to think you're in one of them Spanish bull things where they chase them people down the street. And it's headed this way. And in the process, this warrior's going to have that lion by the nap of the neck, and his mane is going, hey, hallelujah on that. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, by the way, this constellation and part of Taurus, this warrior here is Orion. That's what Job saw. You say, well, you can't prove that. Well, you can't prove it didn't. And then, second coming, Revelation 19. Ready? Now, how many Geminis? We got Geminis. We got some Geminis. Take your Bible and look at Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. Gemini is represented by two twins. One appears to be a warrior. One appears to be a prince. They're twins. You say, how? I didn't know there was any twins in the Bible. All right, Revelation chapter 5. This warrior had to come to be the sacrifice. And because he was the sacrifice, the same person that was the sacrifice is the same person that one day will be prince. Did everybody see that? All right, let me show you. Revelation chapter 5, look about verse number 5. One of the elders said unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and loose the seven seals thereof. Notice verse 5 calls him the Lion of the tribe of Judah. See that? Verse 6, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a what? A lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth of all the earth. Now, verse 5 calls him a lion. Verse 6 calls him a lamb. Is that two different people or the same person? Not a trick question. It's the same person. They saw him as a lion and they saw him as a lamb. Same person. It's almost like twins. One's a sacrifice, and the same sacrifice is the same person that's going to be prince. Amen. Same person. There's the lamb. Right. There's the lion. Amen. But they're the same person. The one who's a sacrifice is the same that's going to be king. Amen. And then, what's after Gemini? I think it's Cancer. Now, let me explain something on Cancer, and this is where it gets a little foggy. Cancer is always, what they've done, they've portrayed that as a crab. How many crabs would go? Most crabs have a crabby attitude. No, I'm kidding. Matt, he'll amen anything. I'm telling you, he will. They picture that as a crab. If you want to picture it as a crab, actually, it's pictured as before the Babylonians got a hold of it and changed it to a crab. It was always pictured as a city, a hiding place, a shelter, a place of rest, is the way it was pictured. Cancer, a cattle fold, who holds or binds. And of course, that's where they get the pinchers on the crab, you understand. This place, it's a city, and it holds in. If you'll read Revelation chapter number 21, talking about the new Jerusalem, nobody goes in or out, and it's a place where it's a protective place. It's a place where once a crab gets a hold of it, it ain't going to let go. And once you're saved, you ain't going nowhere. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. So whether you picture it as a crab or a city or a shelter or a hiding place, that's the place we're headed to. and it's a comfort place. It's a place you can't get out of, don't want to get out of. And then there's only one more. Does anybody know what we got left? Leo the lion. Hallelujah for Leo the lion. Son. Well, we just read Revelation chapter 5. And it said in verse 5, behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah. Turn to Revelation 19 real quick. You ever wonder why they make these cartoons and they... of course, I love to watch it. The Lion King. Somebody say amen on the Lion King. I mean the Lion King. Simba, hold him up, you know, and everybody, you know. And, him, you know, and I mean, it just, I don't know, something about it. Something about a lion, that fierce roar. I mean, just something about it. When he came the first time, he was a lamb. And they killed that lamb on the cross. But see, here's the good part. The end of the story, it starts with a virgin. It ends with a lion. And every year, the heavens tell the same story. It starts with a virgin, goes plumb all the way through to the lion at the end. And Revelation 19, verse 11 says, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. Hallelujah. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name's called the Word of God. That's why we fuss a little bit about the Bible. What kind and all of that. Yes, we make a big deal about it. We can't, I mean, we just, why? Because it's important. The Word of God is important. And the armies which were in heaven followed him on white horses. That's you. Clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword. And with it he shall smite the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fiercest, the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, all capital letters, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. That's Leo. He's a lion. And he's coming. You better get ready. Because it's coming a day when Leo's going to take over. And he ain't going to like it when he gets done. You know. Somebody was telling me before church, they played a clip about somebody that called some atheist to pray, opening prayer over some city council meeting or some county commission meeting, some city somewhere, God-forsaken place. Some atheist, they invite. Why would you invite an atheist to pray? Who are they praying to? And I asked the question. The guy, I said, who in the world was he praying to? He said he prayed to Torah, Buddha. He prayed all these names. And he said, God, help us not to get deceived, you know, about the Lord and all of that. We still record. Tell him to come pray in Dyer County and see what happens. That might happen in New York somewhere. But we ain't that bad off in Dyersburg yet. Yeah, we'll get hot in a minute. You say, well, you're supposed to be a Christian. You're supposed to love and you're supposed to love everybody and just kiss everybody and hug everybody. No, we don't.
Amen.
You say, you got any verses? Yes, I got some verses. How many of y'all think Jesus was sinless, perfect, righteous God Almighty in the flesh. Amen. Well, when he came, he walked into church one day. And he started throwing people out, turning tables over on top of them. Bible says he got him a little whip.
Yeah.
Tell him he wasn't Christian.